What's going on, everybody? You've got the cardboard coach here with your boy, Coach Co. And team, today we've got a very special guest on the podcast here. We've got Ryan Johnson, aka Card Collector 2. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to have you on. We're going to be talking about origin stories. We're going to be talking about, I would say, like unconventional collecting, but like true PC stuff, which I love. And if you've been following the channel for the last few episodes, we've really been digging into PCs. We've been getting people from all different walks of the collecting space, just showcasing so many wonderful parts of the hobby that don't get talked about enough. And we're also going to be talking about Fanatics Fest, because I didn't have the opportunity to join, but Ryan did, and he was part of it in a fairly large capacity. So I'd love to get your take on that. But man, thanks for coming.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. I know we've had a few chances to, talk at a few bigger shows, the National, the Expo, a couple of those. So excited to be here and chat it up.
Love it. How was your Expo experience? I feel like it's so funny. Every episode I mention the Expo in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, the Expo was good. It was, it sounds like it's been progressing towards more non-hockey stuff.
Yeah.
So my opinion on it, I was like, yeah, there's a lot less, or there's a lot more of the other stuff than you might anticipate, because that was always the thing is, hey, it's a lot of hockey. It's a lot of hockey. And it is a lot of hockey. There's no denying that, but the show was really good. I mean, there's a lot of people there. There's a lot of cool things happening. Like the show was good. I mean, we really enjoyed it. We did a piece of content in the last 2.5 months, 3 months. It was like the top 10 card shows I've ever been to, or you should visit. And the Expo is on there. I've been lucky enough to be, or have gone to a few different like international shows. We went to London and we went to the Expo, and they were both on the list. And they're different, right? Like there's different things you have to think about when you go to a show like that. So I think it keeps you on your toes and makes it interesting, right? Like we can go to a show here in Ohio, another show in the States, and it's like, the same, a lot of the same people, a lot of the same cars, a lot of the same negotiation tactics. Like it's a lot of the same, same stuff. And it's not like a bad thing. I love seeing people in the hobby. So like, it's cool, but like the Expo is a lot of new faces, a lot of new cards. You have a currency, difference. Like there's a lot of different things that go into traveling abroad. So it was cool. Like it's definitely a show we'll be back at in the future. It's a good one.
The Macau show is on my list. I think that'd be
yeah.
Really
I've
cool.
I've heard really good things about that, but I think it's like November this year. Yeah, I think it's in November. But yeah, I would love to go to that. I would love to go to more of the international shows. I mean, the London show is great. It's definitely one of my favorite shows. Like I love going to London. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, the international show market seems to be, blowing up.
Heating up, exactly, which is a good sign for the hobby in general. It's funny you're talking about like going into shows and like having either different expectations or just kind of like understanding that it's different everywhere, and every show is kind of different unless you're used to the same kind of circuit. And I feel like that transitions perfectly into the Fanatics Fest. We can just jump right into it. How did the Fanatics Fest? So a lot of people went in with like the, I think, a card show mentality.
Yep.
And I think that from what it sounds like, and the people who went in with like an open mind really were pleasantly surprised by all of the activations. And so like, talk to me about how Fanatics Fest differed from, like a Dallas card show or like a traditional buying show, for instance.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest difference between those shows is certainly the experiential part of it. I think that is the first thing that stands out is the experiences, the activations, the involvement from the league. That is certainly one. And then the personality on the floor, right? From Aiden Ross to Tom Brady, Jake Paul to Livy Dunn, then you've got Michael Rubin to Drewski. Like the people walking around the show is unlike anything I've ever been at in any sports or card event. And then it felt more high end than all of the shows I've ever been to, right? You walk into the Javits Center and it's this big open room, massive ceilings, glass ceilings. And it just like, you got nice banners everywhere. There's a bunch of people working. Feels just really like I think I got asked by Jess. She said, what's one word to think about when you think about Fanatics? And I said fancy. Like it's nice. It is really nice inside. Like there it was, it didn't feel dirty. It didn't feel crowded. You didn't feel like just overwhelmed from like the lack of space. It was really cool. So yeah, I mean, a couple of things that stand out right away. Because again, like you just don't know what to expect, right? Like is this for collectors? Is this for sports fans? How big will the card show be in the event itself? Just a lot of unknowns going into it. So we didn't really know what to expect. But I think EJ, the team at Fanatics, they did a great job. It is definitely something we'll be back at, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it. But yeah, it was a great job.
Love that. So talk to me about like your origin story. Like you've been in the hobby for quite some time. You've become a staple of this hobby. And as you know, Fanatics seemingly tries to bring in a lot more people who aren't necessarily into sports cards, but might have collected in at some point, or people who might be into memorabilia and like, hey, like look at like what we've got kind of over here. Just like the average fan who wants to be a little bit more connected to the game. I definitely think that you're like a pioneer in that. Talk to me about like how we got here. Like, where does Card Collector 2 come from? Even the name.
Yeah, it's been a journey for sure. Yeah, I mean, I started like really hardcore in like 06. I mean, I had access to like Pokemon and like trading cards of some guys I went to high school, like that went to my high school, like my original PC in like the early 2000s, late 90s. So I had some experience there, but I got in it like in 06. So in 06, it was watching Mail Days on YouTube, watching box breaks online, and getting on forums. The forums were the big thing before like social media existed. So it was Blowout Forum, Sports Card Forum, Beckett Forum. That's where you traded, like you posted on there, and that went on through time. I was on all of the forums, was really active on Blowout Forums for a while. I had over like 1,000 feedback on there. I did a lot of dealing on there. And then in like 2013, Photo Bucket, which we used to post pictures of the cards we had for sale and for trade, wanted to start to charge money. They were like, "Hey, it's going to cost you to use Photo Bucket." And I'm like, "There's got to be some place I can post photos for free. That seems like an unnecessary expense." And this is when like Instagram had started. So this is like early Instagram days. And I was like, "Well, Instagram's free. I could just post photos on there and then link my Instagram page to my Blowout, like, because you had like a bio on there, like a not sure the like a not like a footer, but like basically like every time you posted it showed like the bottom of it, like it was like a closing in an email. The word is escaping me.
That's all right.
And so like I would post the link rather than my photo bucket. I just post my Instagram link. I was like, "Hey, these are the cards I have for trade." And then I kept doing Instagram. I kept posting on there, and Instagram developed and got more attention and got more users. And I just kept posting cards like, "Hey, I got this card. I got this card in today." And it just, hey, it morphed into, "Oh, wow, somebody wants to see what I got in the mail today. Somebody wants to see like what I'm picking up. Somebody wants to see what I got from the show. Okay, I can show them that." And I just kept doing that. And I got to the point where, as it was developing, there wasn't a lot of like YouTube content from like shows. Like you couldn't watch that. And I was like, "Well, I'm already posting these on Instagram. Why don't I just post them on YouTube? Like, hey, these are the cards I got in the mail today. Hey, these are the cards I'm sending to grading. Hey, this is what I bought, So I kept doing that, and then I transitioned to like more like active YouTube content. And 2019, I ended up filming at the National for the first time. I've told the story a few times, but I used a good friend, VAR, is like IG's I'm VAR, and I was like, "Hey, I want to shoot at the National. Can you shoot and edit content? Like, can we try this?" He's like, "Yeah." And I remember being so nervous. I was like terrified somebody was gonna like yell at me, or like I was gonna get in trouble. Like this wasn't like something everybody was
Yeah,
doing. Like
people weren't doing that.
it wasn't something that was like somebody was shooting another person buying and selling. So like he was like hiding like behind like poles, like from afar, and like would be shooting. And yeah, one thing led to another, and just ended up having an opportunity to quit my full-time job in October of 18. Did that, but ended up buying a card store 6 months into it, completely unexpected, out of the blue, like happened in like 2 weeks. And then a year into that, COVID happened and, shut everything down. Wasn't really sure what the future looked like. So did a lot more like online and like, hey, can we sell boxes and packs and breaks? And that took off. You know, we had a little following built up then on Instagram, and that took off during COVID. And next thing you know, it was 1 to 6 employees in a, you know, by the end of 20, what is that, 2020? And then it's just been, you know, all gas since then. And it's yeah, long-winded way of saying it has been a journey for nearly 2 decades now.
Well, and that's the kind of beauty of it, right? Like it all kind of came organically where you were already interacting so heavily in this space. You know, maybe not necessarily in the same mediums that you were before, but like this
Sure.
is all just like a accumulation of all the hard work you've put in, whether that's, you know, pricing cards back like when it was like not so easy to just take a picture of a card and the comp comes up, or you know, like
Yep.
buying on margin back, you know, like there's just so many different reasons why you are where you are today. You know what I mean? And so that's it's pretty admirable. It's also like a testament to just if you're doing something you're passionate in, like even if you don't get your flowers right away, like it eventually, like first of all, you're enjoying what you're doing. And
Yeah.
secondly, eventually it all kind of pans out as long as you're trying to take it to the next step each and every way. I guess my next question is like, how did you know when it was right to like take next steps? So like how did you know it was right
Yeah.
to quit your job? How did you know it was right to like buy a card store?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was one point that really stood out for like when I was going to take the leap. Like my wife and I got engaged in February of 2017, and we didn't have any like parental support per se on like the wedding. So it was really on like Reg and I to pay for the whole thing. Like it just didn't, we weren't going to get parent support on that. My wife has a, you know, expensive taste, I tell her, and wanted to get married at, we got married at a very, very, very nice venue. It was very nice. And it was kind of like, this is when I got really big into like Gary V's content, like One Life, No
Yeah.
Regrets. Like I give Gary a lot of credit for like pushing me to that, 'cause like I definitely felt like I needed it. So Reg and I just kind of sat down, and it was like, hey, I'm gonna fund the wedding. Like I'm gonna pay for the wedding through sports cards as a way to show you this is a real possibility. And you know, because Reg and I had to call, had the conversation around that time. I was like, I want to do this. Like I think I can do this. I'm like, I think. I said, I wasn't making a lot of money. I was working for like a community college at the time. I was like, I'm not making a ton. I was like, I think I can make just as much money and be twice as happy, 10 times happier. So I was like, let me try to pay for the wedding. I'll document it. Like, it'll have to give up some weekends, like some nights. Like, I'll have to work hard, but let me pay for the wedding as a proof of concept that I can do this. And she agreed on that. And I spent a lot of like Friday nights. Like, I remember the one of the first products I ever sold was like a year before we got engaged. It was like 2016 Origins. I bought like 30 boxes, went live on Instagram, sold them all the first day. I was like, this is crazy. So like I had a little bit of experience selling on Instagram. So like
Yeah.
I would go live, like when we agreed to this, like I would go live and I'd show cards and I'd make deals. And this is back when like razzing was a big thing. Like this is how long it's been. So like you'd go live and run razzes, like you get breaks, like we did everything, but I would go live on Instagram, like get a few people in the room, and we'd sit there and we'd sell. Then I'd go to the show the next day, and I'd buy more stuff to sell, and I'd you know, flip stuff, and I'd go live on Saturday night, and I'd do the same thing. And Sunday we'd ship it all, and Monday I'd be back in school and back in work. And you know, we were going to school full time. We just started living together. Like it was a lot, but I did it. I paid for the wedding, and as we were getting closer, that was kind of my thing. Is like, hey, we don't have kids, we don't have a mortgage. This is like, I realize we're just married, but like, this is the time for me to do this. And I put in my 2 weeks, like right before we got married, had the vacation time afterwards, took my, you know, the rest of my vacation time on our honeymoon, and never went back. And, you know, it ended up working itself out so far. So it was yeah, it was scary at the time, you know, just not having a guaranteed paycheck, not having somebody to tell you got to get up and work. But I've been pretty like you said earlier, like, you know, I appreciate the compliment, but like I didn't do this to, you know, build a large audience. I didn't do this to for any reason other than like I didn't have this when I was a kid, so like I wanted to show other people what I could do, and I love doing this. Like I would collect these cards if they were worth no money at all. Like I would still do this if the all of our following still went away. Like this is what I love to do. Like I've done this every day for nearly 2 decades. Like it's not because I love the money. It's because I love the hobby. I'm trying to build something cool now. And my vision has definitely changed since we started. But like, I think the biggest thing is like the consistency piece. Like I'm not taking a month off of cards. Like I've never done that. Like I took the cards with me to college. I did it in high school. Like I've always done it. Like it's been a big part of my life for 2 decades. And when you do it every single day, like eventually you figure some things out and you get good at it. And that's just, I think, where, you know, what happened to us.
I love that. I think it's super interesting. Imagine if you had footage of you paying for your wedding with sports cards, you know? Like that's like I wonder how much of like the content side of you now is like, man, I just wish I had that stuff, right? Because like that
100%. Like I get like when we see is one of my I love talking about this. Like when I go to the National and people are like, hey, this is my first one. Do you have any advice? And my advice is always the same. Take as many pictures as possible. Like I have some photos from like the fifth National I went to, but I haven't missed a National since 2009 when it was in Cleveland, right? I remember going there, went in a box war. I ripped a case of 2009 Topps Jumbo football, hit a Mark
Nice.
Sanchez rookie premier auto. That was a big card. Won like a Panini box war on like a lowest numbered card. It was like a Chad Johnson to 85 Classics 07 or 08 jersey auto. Like I
Sick.
remember all this stuff. And I was like, I wish I had those photos. Like I took $300 to the first National I ever went to in Cleveland, got to rip some packs and some boxes and loved it. And now we've built something really, really cool. I would love to see that
That's
progression. Would
exactly
love to
it.
be able to look back and be like, man, this is like, you know, I made that person proud. Like we built something cool from that vision. And you know, the wedding stuff, like I sold a Mahomes cracked ice to pay for my wedding for $2,400. We had 3 9 5 10 Mahomes autos that sold for $3,000 a piece, right? Like those things happen. I had Jordan take it 2.net insert BGS 95s. I, you know, I had LeBron autos, Jordan, like I had cool stuff. And I tell my wife, like, if we had those, like if we would have passed on getting married in such a nice spot, we'd be retired. Like, well, we had a great wedding. I'm like, touche, whatever.
It's all
So yeah, it's
perspective, right?
yeah, that's why like I tell so many younger folks, like, take the photos, take a video because like you'll wish you had it, you know, later. I know I do.
I mean, how important is it to keep perspective when, like, I mean, obviously, you know where you've come from, right? But there's like, you see this vision now for your shop, for your life, for the space, for your following and the videos you want to create and the impact you want to have. Like, how do you keep perspective in those moments?
Yeah, when you realize at the end of the day that this is just cardboard, right? Like, you know, I spent some time in shop recently with you know, parents of a collector who passed away from cancer last year, someone I was really close with. And I know someone like he admired, you know, our content and we had you know, met him at the National and he came to Rip Night and stuff like that. And you know, you see moments like that and those things put this into perspective. I don't ever take for granted or overlook the fact that I get to sell pictures of, you know, men on cardboard for a living. You know, it's stressful. It's a lot. There's a lot of late nights, early, you know, early mornings, but at the end of the day, there's far bigger things out there. And, you know, I think that's definitely what, you know, keeps us grounded in this is I get to do what I love every day and I get to build it with people I really care about. But it's like I said, it's a blessing, and there's way bigger things out there than, you know, than this.
For sure. I mean, that's a great way to put it, honestly. Really keeping perspective, and you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, these are like pictures of dudes on cardboard. I mean, and females on pieces of paper, and like in plastic, and those plastics go into other plastic. You know what I mean? Like it's like when you describe it like that, it's like it's very kind of trivial, but at the same time, it brings so much joy to so many people. I will say, from what I've seen at Fanatics Fest, it looked like it also brought joy to a lot of people. And it wasn't sure that I think there was like a lot of instances where things cost money, but I also think that it really connected people with whatever they were truly passionate about, just because there were so many things under the same roof. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I know. I think it was. I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm like, I don't remember anything that was like negative or bad. It was all good. I mean, Fanatics did an amazing job on the event, right? You know, I spoke to Jeff Wilson the other day and talked a little bit about, I mean, about some of the things that like I would change or like how they grow it and things like that. But you know, I think in that sense, you know, situation, it's just more nitpicking. Like the fact that like Tom Brady walks around and Peyton Manning walks around and like will take photos and like again, like they're not sitting there creating a line, like they're moving, but like just the fact that like those people are on the show floor being there and then like Tops doing a great job with like the there was like a hobby hall stage like in the middle of the card experience, which was like, you know, I got to speak on it with Jay. We talked about like negotiating in cards. Jeff Wilson did one, ripped packs with Dana White. You know, I
Crazy.
know Steph. Stephanie Mama Breaks was up there. Like, there was a lot of cool stuff, and this was educational. And again, you have those names walking around. You know, Brian and I, my videographer, we were walking out one night, and like you've got the WWE walkout, and like the first and foremost, the WWE fans were certainly the most loud, boisterous, happy,
Always.
excited. Like that is the most, I always say that is the most loyal fan base in all of cards, and you saw it like just in general in sport. Like, but you walk by the WWE booth and like the walkout, and like there's people doing it, and like the crowd is excited. Everybody's excited. It's just like you don't walk in there and be like, "I'm sad." Like this, you know, unless it's like life is going on. Like it's like the Disneyland of sports cards
That's what it
of
looked
like
like.
of
Honestly, all it
sport.
missed was like a Ferris wheel. Like
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, like you literally had everything. It was really cool. Yeah, it was fun.
I just couldn't believe how many people were there. I couldn't believe some of the activations, like having like a soccer pitch in like the middle for the kids, and like people were throwing footballs, and it's just like anything you kind of wanted to do. There was batting practice. Like it was just, it looked surreal, and just the names that you saw, like Isho Speed and a Sketch was there, like just like non-hobby related, just kind of pop culture. It really looked like a very cool experience.
Yeah, I think it was again, you didn't know what to expect in the beginning with like cards versus sport and where that would, where that those two would intersect. But I think Fanatics did a really good job, because I think if you think about it, like you've obviously got the cards in the same space as these experiences, right? So if you can come in and do your WWE walkout, you can run the 40-yard dash. That's really cool. Like, hey, come in. It's like, again, literally, I think Disney World is like the best way to describe it. There's like so many different things. You can shop, you can enjoy the rides, you can meet people. It's cool. And then you've got trading cards in there, and you can see that, and you can learn more about the hobby on the stage. And then you've got guys like Destroying, Sketch, Isho Speed, Drewski, Aiden Ross, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Dana White, Jake Paul, Libby Dunn. You get on the list that are all on the show floor, all there, and they're like, "Hey, we're live from Fanatics Fest. Hey, we're at Fanatics Fest." And now all of those people that, you know, that were there, those major names, are telling their audience, "Hey, I'm at Fanatics Fest. I'm here." Now all of those people that follow those people know about Fanatics Fest. Even if 1% of that crowd chooses to look more into Fanatics Fest, and maybe half of that goes into, you know, the show at the future, like that's just a great way to get more exposure on the event, which ultimately you hope leads to more people learning more about cards and getting into the hobby. And it's, again, I don't expect it to 10x overnight, but it seems like a good way to really put a slow and steady grind on really 10xing the hobby.
I love that. Well, let's talk about some of the cool pieces that you've been. I saw like WWE belts with like MLB logos and just like collabs you never knew you wanted, which was like really cool. And that kind of like transitions me to like some of your PC stuff is truly like PC. Like a lot of people say like, oh, this is a PC card, and maybe it's because that card tanked and now like you're in it for the long haul, or like PC is very loose these days, where maybe like for the right number it's gone, or 6 months later, or whatever the case may be. You have very strong Ohio State PC. You've been recently acquiring some fun pieces like gamers and stuff of that nature. Like, do you want to talk a little bit about that PC, where it comes from, and like how you select the right pieces for your collection? And where do you keep all this stuff, bro?
I mean, some of it's kept in my office, some of it's at the shop, some of it's in vaults. Like, it just depends. Like my Ohio State PC is certainly the, one of my favorite pieces in my collection, just for the reason that, like, I grew up 25 minutes from the stadium. I'm as passionate about Ohio State football as I am anything, especially cards. It's a big piece of my identity. It's a big piece of my brand and on social. I care a lot about Ohio State football. So like when I pick up this stuff, I think that's what's cool about collecting is a lot of it is like a memory to a moment in time that meant so much to you at that time. So like when I pick up Braxton Miller cards, I can think about like the spin move, right? Beating, he was the quarterback. I think it was the last Michigan game he started at quarterback. When my wife and I went to Ann Arbor, Michigan
So
in
cool.
2013, the first time I ever went to Ohio State, Michigan was with my wife. We had just started dating. We go up there. Ohio State fans will remember there's an infamous, something happens when somebody gets ejected, inappropriate. I won't do it now. There's fights. Braxton Miller wins Urban Meyer's first trip to Ann Arbor. So like Braxton Miller has a special place in my heart from those memories. So when I see those, when I see his cool cards, I'm like, oh, I want the coolest things of Braxton Miller. And then time progresses, and JT Barrett winning as quarterback in Big Ten history, a part of the national championship team, never lost to Michigan. I'm like, this is great. So like when I see his stuff, like I want it. So like as I've grown in both life and in the hobby, and time goes on, and they get cooler cards and more cards, I'm like, I want to collect the coolest cards of the guys I got to, I got to watch play for one of my favorite teams. And the cool part now is with Topps and Panini and NIL, I can collect these guys while they're in school. So when NIL first started, we had like six Buckeyes and we did like a boxes with Buckeye series. And they'd come in and we ripped, shout out to Leaf, like we ripped the Leaf on like all American stuff. So like their high school stuff before they even got to school. Now we can rip more packs of them like in their actual product. But like they'd come in, so like I had six different guys in. Well, some of those guys have cards now, so now I chase their cards. It can be like, yeah, that guy came into my shop. He's one of my first NIL guys. Good guy, signed some stuff for me. It's cool. And then you get into more of the like the gamer side of it, and you're like, well, now I have jerseys of these guys who came in for NIL deals, and I got to watch play in the Horseshoe, where I love going. So for me, it's just a lot about like tying these memories together and understanding that, like, again, at the end of the day, like, I'm a collector. We have a business, we create content. There's other pieces of this, but like, I collect cards. Like, there's stuff sitting on my desk right here now, and it's like, I got, you probably can't see it because the blur, but
That's
like,
okay.
see if I can put it here. The Will Howard Bowman Chrome Super, right? Like, Will Howard's first Bowman, the quarterback at Ohio State now. I got to rip packs with him with Hobby Box on the Whatnot main stage at the National, right? So, like, I've got stuff like that. So yeah, just a lot of it just ties back to like the memories of it. And yeah, it's cool. But yeah, the Ohio State stuff is for sure, like that's my favorite.
I think it's the best way to have a PC, honestly. And I think that everybody collects something, like whether they don't even have to be in, like directly in the hobby. I just think that it's so much of that comes from nostalgia and creating memories and a lot of the things that you just touched upon there. It's about just transporting you and it's almost one of those ways of like keeping perspective where we talked about at the beginning. It's just so important to kind of understand that whatever you're going through right now, it won't always be that way, whether it's good or bad. But like, life is kind of just a community. It's just a bunch of these experiences all kind of wrapped together. So, brother, I really appreciate you jumping on the podcast today. If you have one thing to say to the community, what first of all, where can they follow you if they're not already? And what's one piece of advice you'd give someone who was thinking about potentially going to sports cards full time?
Advice for somebody that's thinking about going full time. Kind of two-parted, but really it just revolves around patience. That was the big thing I got, big thing I get on questions is, People say like, hey man, like you've got this big following. You did this. Like, how do I get like you like tomorrow? And it's like, you don't see every day since 2006. Like I'm playing the long game, right? I want to do this as long as I'm alive. So understanding that if you are in it for the right reasons and doing it for the long run, understand that this takes time. Like you don't, learn how to shoot free throws amazing in one day. Like it's just repetition, 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 right? Like, how many threes has Steph Curry ever shot in his life? A
Yeah.
million. So he can make big ones and win gold medals and, in Paris. Like, so for me, it's just like understanding that if you're trying to do this as a career, if you're trying to take this, just understand that it takes time and it takes a lot of hard work. It's it doesn't happen by accident and it doesn't happen because you get lucky. I mean, those things are nice here and there, but understanding that this is if you're playing the long game, it takes time. And so just don't get discouraged if things don't go your way right away. It takes time, but with some hard work and patience, you can do really, really cool things.
Appreciate those wise words, man. Team, if you don't already, you need to follow Ryan Card Collector 2 on all platforms. And man, show his content some love because, I mean, he's got some really good stuff there and he's doing some great things for the space. So appreciate you for jumping on, man.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. It's always good to connect. Hopefully we'll see each other at a show soon.
Yeah, for sure. Take care, man. Thanks again.
See ya.